So as you know, going forward, I mentioned to you the last time I preached, Pastor challenged me, challenged us, but about studying through books, and so and I chose to deal with the Book of Thessalonians. Some months back, I dealt with Jude. That was a short book to kind of test myself, you know what I mean? And I got through that. So now I'm taking on the Book of Thessalonians. And the last time I did speak, we spent some extensive time dealing with just that first chapter, right? Dealing with Paul and his missionary team, right? We did a little profile on Paul, did a profile on Silvanus, who was Silas, right? And also a profile on Timotheus, who was Timothy. So we spent some time dealing with the profiles of these men. Just like each one of us, we have a profile, and we have a background, and the Lord's using them just like He's using us as well, right? So we talked about that. So today, I'm going to finish up verses 1 through 10, but I'm going to start with verse 2 because we did a lot of time on verse 1, right? And so by way of introduction, Thessalonica, was a free city of Macedonia. It was one of the largest metropolises thereof, right? So Paul came there too after his ministry in Philippi and spent about a month preaching and teaching before being driven out by these Lou fellows, right? This mob, right? These thugs. We talked about that, right? And the backdrop of all of that is in Acts chapter 17, right? And we'll be referring back there a little later. He also worked his way down the Greek peninsula and eventually arriving in Corinth, whence he wrote this epistle, right? So this is one of Paul's earliest epistles. And I believe some date around AD 50, right? And so the theme of this book is, from my perspective, was to strengthen this young church at Thessalonica, right? And encourage them, right? So chapter one, basically, my outline that I made was dealing with how the Apostle Paul clearly seeks to encourage this young church. So let's go to our Bibles, and before we get into trying to break down each one of these verses, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, I'm just so thankful, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge, even to me personally, to be able to give forth your word to your people here in this local church. And Lord, we are so thankful for the work that our pastors is doing and the mighty man that's behind the scenes holding down the fort by God's grace while he's away to be able to do these things. And he's truly, I am sure, being a blessing to others as well as them being a blessing to him as well. So Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this opportunity to give forth your word here this day, first day of the week, Lord, here at this local church at BBC. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, starting with verse 1, I'll read all 10 verses. We see here where it says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonica, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 2 is actually where we're going to really be starting from. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God forward to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. All right. So we're going to start in verse 2. We see here where the Apostle Paul immediately launches out his objective of encouragement to this local church. Right? We see here where he says in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mentions of you in our prayers. So the Apostle Paul undoubtedly did give thanks to God and pray for this young church, right? But it would seem that he made an immediate point to let them know this point, right? And to lift their spirits and also to encourage them. So such knowledge is encouraging to God's people, even then and even today, right? To know that someone is praying for us in itself is encouraging, right? Not to mention God's hearkening unto such prayers, right? So by way of application, right, such knowledge to know here at Bible Baptist Church, right, that we have our brothers and sisters within this assembly are praying for each other, right? And I'm pretty sure it was such an encouragement that Pastor being over there in the Philippines to hear or echoing those same exact words, right? I'm pretty sure Pastor has mentioned to them that he's praying for them, right? And likewise, right? So we see that in verse 2. And then in verse 3, we see what the Bible says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Here we see the Apostle Paul, this inspired writer, right, further recalls how that they remembered without ceasing, right, the threefold virtue of the Thessalonian believers, right? We see that that word without ceasing has the idea of constant. So he remembered them constantly, right, in these three different areas, right? The triple virtue remembered by Paul constantly was their, number one, their work of faith, right? So throughout this book, as we will continue to study, we will see how Paul constantly compliments them about their faith. Right. Secondly, we see Paul recounts that their labor of love. Okay, their labor of love. So that word, that labor of love, right, has the idea more to do with the results of their labor, such as being fatigued or problems therefrom. So this has the idea that Paul may have alluded to the uproar, the trouble that was caused while they were at Thessalonica, and how these young believers in this local church, right, protected and got them to safety. Let's go over to Acts chapter 17. And in verse 5 through 10, but let's get started in verse 1. Just kind of give it a little little context here. And we see here in verse 1 where it says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, right, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner, reasoned with them out of the scripture, right? So Paul will always find a way to find a synagogue, right, obviously on the Sabbath, right, to deal with them, right? And then we go down to verse 5, 5 through, let's say, verse 10, we see here where, but then the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain loo fellows, that's these thugs, right, of a baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, that these that have turned the world upside down come hither also, whom Jason had received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, that one Jesus, right? And that, which is true, okay, that they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. And then in verse 10, we see here, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews, right? And then we know this famous verse, part of this verse here, where it says, these were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So that's kind of that, with that labor of love, I believe that is referring to, right? And then finally, we see it, the last part of that three virtues is the patience of hope. The patience of hope. So, the patience of hope. I believe that this has the sense of dealing with that perseverance, right? I believe that what is implied here, though there was opposition in Thessalonica, these young believers in that local church have persevered because of their hope in our Lord Jesus Christ's return. Okay? Also, the final phase, this was all done in the sight of God our Father. Right? So, by way of application of this verse here, in verse 3, we here at Bible Baptist Church should these virtues should be manifested in us as well, right? That work of faith, right? That labor of love, right? And patience of hope and waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? As well, you know, before our Heavenly Father, as well. Now we've experienced some degree of all of this throughout our time here. Right, and we're still standing by God's grace, right? And we know in the future it still will come. So our job is to try to prepare the younger generation, all right, as they watch us handle these things biblically, that they will continue to follow on in that pattern. All right, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul here seeks to further encourage the Thessalonian church by describing them as brethren as well as beloved. Even more importantly, he reminded them of the election of God. See, the greater truth is that God in Christ chose them unto himself. That is a privilege indeed and cause for considerable encouragement. So with this election, the focus here is more on the corporate rather than the personal. All right? But, you know, even as God chooses Israel and Abraham, you know, or God chose in Acts chapter 9, where Ananias, you know, we see here where the Lord tells Ananias that he was a chosen vessel unto him. Okay? Now, we're not to get that mixed up with God's the Father's elect of all, right? Because God the Father did elect it all, right? And Christ died for all, right? So, but one elect must obtain their salvation in making their calling and election sure. We just heard that a little earlier, right? So, man has a responsibility, right, of repentance and faith to keep their name from being blotted out after death, right? Okay, so we see that man is not condemned to hell, right, because of their old nature, right? So he is condemned to hell because of the unconfessed that will confirm the old nature, right? So God did not make or create hell for mankind. He created the everlasting fire that was prepared exclusively for the devil and his angels. That's the purpose. See, we serve a loving God, but man does have a responsibility on his part. So verse 5, where it says here, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So Paul further reminds them that their gospel, that is the gospel which they preach, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. So Paul reminds them, right, that when they came to Thessalonica, right, that his message was not in word only, but also with power, which is clearly from God. Okay? Number 2, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And 3, in much assurance, right? So that word is translated, how has the idea of confidence, which convinces, okay, or one that convicts, right? So what is implied here is about the essence of conviction. So the good news, which is the gospel, came with power. It had the power to affect, had that powerful effect on the Thessalonians. So whenever the Bible is heard and obeyed, okay, guess what? Lives are changed. Right? Lives are changed. So Christianity is more than a collection of interesting facts. All right? It is the power of God to everyone who believes. Right? So my question or my thoughts that I challenged myself, and now I'm challenging you, what has God's power done in your life since you believe? So the Holy Spirit changes people when they believe the good news or the gospel. So when we tell others about Christ, we must depend on the Holy Spirit to open their eyes and convince them, right, that they need salvation. That's God's power. That is not our cleverness, right, or how the way we can try to persuade them in our own way, right? That is given to the Holy Spirit to convict them, right? So without the work of the Holy Spirit, our words are meaningless, right? It's vain. So it's the Holy Spirit not only convicts people of sin, but it also assures them of the truth of the gospel. Amen? Now, verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul then further reminds them how that they became followers of us and of the Lord. I think what is implied here, maybe Paul was thinking that maybe they were somewhat wavering, but he thus reminded them that he reminded them of their initial determination to follow in not only Paul's footsteps, but also in the Lord as well. Okay? Paul further recalls that their reception of the gospel was in the midst of much affliction. All right? So that latter translation, right, has the idea which has the sense of trouble or tribulation, right? Though they had received Christ in the face of opposition and trouble, nevertheless, they had the joy of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Facing opposition and persecution for Jesus Christ will spark joy from the Holy Spirit as no other circumstances can. Yeah. See, the joy the world cannot match the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, right? You know, and that's one of the things that will replace those old desires that we once had, right? And maybe someone still battle with, right? But that joy, no man, you know, can fulfill other than what Jesus Christ can provide. So, the message of salvation, though welcomed with great joy, brought the Thessalonians severe suffering because it led to persecution from both the Jews and the Gentiles. We saw that in Acts chapter 17, and it's also in Acts chapter 3 as well, right? So many believers today think that pain is the exception in the Christian life, right? See, we're not into this easy believism things, right? So when suffering occurs, they say, why me? They feel as though God deserted them. And perhaps they accuse him of not being as dependable as they thought he should be. But in reality, the world is sinful. So even believers suffer as well. Right? God allows some Christians to become murderers for the faith. And he also allows those to survive persecution as well. Rather than asking why me, we should ask, why not me? You see, our faith and the values of this world are on a collision course, right? So if we expect pain and suffering to come, then we will not be shocked when it occurs. You see, we can take the comfort in knowing that Jesus also suffered. He understands our fears. He understands our weaknesses, right? He understands our disappointments in life. He also promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And guess what? He also interceded on our behalf. Thank the Lord for that promise and that blessing. He promised never to leave us, right? And so... in those times of pain and in persecution, okay, and suffering, we can trust confidently in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just as those young believers did there in Thessalonica in that local church as well. Verse 7. He thus further seeks to encourage them by complimenting them and that they were examples to all who believed in Macedonia and Achaia. You see, their conviction in the face of opposition had become an example, yea, even a pattern for all the other churches in that region. See, Macedonia was the northern region of Greece from which was Thessalonica. Acadia was the southern portion of the Greek peninsula, including Corinth, from whence Paul wrote the epistle. In other words, these young Thessalonians, right, church, had become a pattern and an example for all other churches of that region. Paul reminded them thereof to further encourage them, right? Let's think about us here at Bible Baptist Church. Now, we don't pat ourselves on the back, and we shouldn't, about the truth that we are getting here, right? We see, once again, I'm not boasting, but I'm glorying in the Lord in this here, right? We see the pattern that is being set forth where other churches, where we are affecting other churches. Pastor himself just gave a testimony of that earlier, right? That we could be a blessing to other churches and not take advantage of what we have here. Some do. Some do. Don't you get caught up in that. Right. Satan will try to deceive you and keep you away, right? From number one, reading your word. Two, to assemble together, right? And to utilize your gift here in this local church where you can continue to be a blessing not only to your pastor, but to your brothers and sisters of Christ here, which will in turn affect others as well. So it starts there. Starts there. Verse 8. As Paul continues to encourage and reminds them of their ministry, he says in verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Acadia, but also in every place your faith towards God spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." So what a wonderful spiritual compliment from the Apostle Paul to this young believing church, right? These young believers had poured out the gospel throughout their home region, which was in Macedonia, and those adjoining region in Achaia. What a testimony to a soul-winning church. In fact, the word of their faith had spread throughout the whole Roman Empire. Here was a church which witnessed near and sent the gospel abroad. Paul complimented them on how he did not need to make further comments concerning their reputation. Okay. What a reputation this church has, right? We here at Bible Baptist Church need to have a reputation of going forth and spreading the gospel, right? And I thank the Lord for what we are doing here, okay? And I truly appreciate the leading of our pastor when it comes to these areas. But to give us sound doctrinal teaching, which convicts the heart, right? That would now provoke you, even provoke me to such to do, to analyze a book of a Bible in public, right? So I thank the Lord for that, you know. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. As Paul and his missionary party traveled, he met others who proclaimed to them of their ministries to the Thessalonians. Their emphasis here, as not only Paul and his party or his ministry, missionary team, rather it is upon their reputation and their testimony, specifically that the testimony was how that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That is a powerful, powerful testimony. and how the word there was spread ahead of them. So they had to turn to God, which is repentance, right, from idols, that is those false dead gods, to serve the what? The true and living God. That's repentance. And then finally in verse 10, we see here, and to wait for the Son, for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Moreover, the reputation of these young Thessalonian believers here in this local church included their determination to wait for his Son from heaven. They're waiting on a return. Clearly implied is the intimate return of our Lord and watching thereto on behalf of the Thessalonians. So Paul does not miss this opportunity, right, to weave into this text the truth of the resurrection, right? Because he states whom he raised from the dead, right? Lest there be any question as to who is in view, he also adds, even Jesus. So furthermore, he also adds how that he has delivered us from the wrath to come, right? So there are two significant possibilities that are in view, right, regarding this final phase, right, in this area of greeting and encouragement to this local church, right? One is the wrath of God's judgment spoken of in John 3:36. So we can turn over to John 3:36. Okay. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son have everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. However, it should be noted how that wrath is already abiding, right? But the wrath spoken in that passage that we read prior to this is yet to come, right? This then very well may refer to the tribulation, which is noted as the great day of his wrath. If we turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, where it says, and here in the context, we see that the seals were open, right? And it says here, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. In verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Okay? So, inasmuch as that wrath is yet to come, it seems to better fit the context. Hence, there's a strong indication here, rather, of the pre-tribulation rapture. This also parallels, or this truth is paralleled, which we find also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 as well, right? So, in the final two verses of the chapter, right, of this chapter 1, right, we see repentance, right, that they turn from dead idols and wind up serving the one and only true God, right? They were then now looking for the Lord's intimate return, right, okay, the resurrection, right? And we see a clear example of the pre-tribulation rapture. Paul is laying this out, and he's going to get more in detail about this later on as we study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your truth, the word. We thank you for repentance. Thank you for this local church to be an example, not only to those that in that region, but even in this century, how the effect that that had on local churches such as ours. And we, Lord, we just ask your blessings upon this. In Jesus' name, amen.